I don't know that it's a sermon, so to speak. I've been doing worship for a long time, 28 years or something like that. And I don't wear that as a badge. I think it's an honor. It's something I was made to do. It's what God created me for. I believe he's created you for that too, to worship him. But to lead worship to me is an honor, because it's not something we do for position or prominence or anything like that. And worship leaders are, I believe, on the front lines. If you look back in the book, quite a few places the worship leaders are out front. And you know where the arrows hit first, right? When you're in a war, the guys in the front get it first. Yeah, but the worship leaders go out front, and they get hit first. And so as worship leaders, not that we're better than you guys or anything like that, but as worship leaders, we go through more attacks because our hearts are soft, and we have to try to keep them that way. So one of the things that I've done in my Christian walk, what God did to me, was I started off in a church where we sang from books. How many of you guys sang from books? And I came to a point where I went to a church where they didn't have books. They had the words up on a screen like that. And I walked in and I saw these people singing these songs, and the words were a little different. They weren't songs I knew, but the words were different because they were songs to God instead of about him. And I was used to "How Great Thou Art." That was a good song, but I never sang it to him. It was always sing along, you know. A lot of the hymnal songs, not that they're wrong, because they bring to remembrance, like his word brings to remembrance his great deeds, but they weren't to him. And so I go to this church, and it's songs to him, and that's what changed me. That's what brought me from Jesus can be my Savior to Jesus is Lord. All of a sudden, there was this change because I saw these people singing these songs to somebody who was real. You know, it was a good story in a book before that. And I believed it. There was no doubt I believed it, but it was just a story in a book. But then it became real because I had to answer for his lordship. And he became Lord. He was a person I sang to. So one of the things that when I was praying about doing this, and Sean had asked me to do this, one of the things I thought of was my favorite scriptures that I use and that have touched me and what they mean. And that song that we just sang kind of encompasses the whole thing I'm going to say, the whole thing I'm going to talk about. But in Psalm 103, if you guys don't have your Bibles, that's fine. I will just speak it over you, read it over you, because it's his word. I figured the best way to learn about worship is to go to the book. Don't you think? Everybody go like this. Okay, good. Psalm 103. It's David talking, and if you'll notice, he does something here where he's talking to himself. Like the song we just sang said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Who's this song talking to? Us, right? You guys can talk if you want. It's okay. Okay, good. Thanks. Says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul," or "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." Does that sound familiar? Didn't we just sing that? Yeah. "He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." Who would know better than that than Dave? Remember Dave? What Dave did? Not that our stuff is any less, but Dave knows what he deserved. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. How far is that? Have you guys ever stopped and thought about that? As high as the heavens are above the earth, how far is that? Give me some miles. You can't count it. As far as the east is from the west. And if you go that way, as far as you can go, and then somebody else goes that way and keeps going until they meet, it's farther than that. It's farther than that. It's really big. It's really big. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. You guys remember where I was standing? No. Its place remembers, that's us. But God is everlasting. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. I have some of those children's children. They're cute. And you know, some of the decisions I made because of God's promises, they're in. They're going to be fine because of God's promises. They still have to make their own choice, don't get me wrong, but with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all you heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So this whole psalm, David's talking to himself. He's bringing back to remembrance the things of God, the things why he worships God, what this is all about, how big this God he worships is, how much of a father he is. Psalm 104, David continues on this path. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul. And then he switches here. He says, O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Back to Dave. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot, and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundation. It can never be moved. Then he goes back and starts talking to God again. He says, you covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. To who? Who do they sing to? To him. Yeah, he created them. Do you think he just gave them a song for nothing? It's because he loves to hear them sing. He loves to hear you guys sing too. Me, not so much. You know. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. And the earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the conies. The moon marks off the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lioness roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then man goes out to his work, to his labor until evening. How many are your ways, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. Have you ever seen how many, the ball of fish that the whales chase? How many fish are in that thing, just swimming like that? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Raise your hand. Okay, good. I'm in the right place, right country and everything. You notice how the whales will work in unison and blow bubbles up to herd them? Who taught them that? Did they learn that? Well, they do go to school. Anyway, bad joke, sorry. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan which you formed to frolic there. All these look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. And when you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. How about that? This is who we worship, folks. This is the God we worship. It says, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles. He who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. You get that song now? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Yeah. Then there was this guy who was much like Sean. He was a righteous man. And you guys too, because of what Jesus did for you. Okay? But he walked the earth. He was, what the Bible said, there was none like him. He was righteous. What was his name? Old Testament. Huh? Job. Right there, this guy Job. So Job goes through this big thing. He's got his buddies saying, you know, curse God and die and all this stuff. Well, then at one point in Job 38, God comes. Says, let's talk. Remember? He says, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? And then he says, brace yourself like a man. Take out your man card because it's going to get good. He says, I will question you, and you will answer me. Now remember, this is God. I mean, who's going to argue with this guy? Some have tried it. Didn't go well. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me, if you understand, who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out a measuring line across it? Or what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Sounds like he was there, doesn't it? Yeah. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set doors and bars in place? When I said, this far may you come and no further? Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you been to the beach? Has anybody been to the beach here? You see where they stop? He ordered that. He said, this far. That's it. He ordered that. It's amazing. Try to control the try to control one of these canals. That one, right there. Go out there and say stop. See what happens. My suspicion is nothing. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? He has. Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Guess who made them? Yeah. Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me, if you know all of this, what is the way to the abode of light? And where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths to their dwellings? Surely you know, for you were already born. God was getting a little sarcastic. Yeah. You have lived so many years. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of hail, which I reserve for the times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What's the way to the place where the lightning's dispersed? Or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm to water a land where no man lives, a desert with no one in it, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass? Have you guys ever been out to the desert? Have you ever been into like one of those little valleys where there's trees and nobody? Nobody out there living, no little, you know, broken houses or nothing like that. It's just the desert. And have you seen its beauty? I know it's desert, but it's beautiful. And that's God's garden. He waters it. He tends it. I would like to spend some time out there. It was so nice. In the winter. Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens when the waters become hard as stone? When the surface of the deep is frozen? Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades, something like that? Or loose the cords of Orion? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons or lead out the bear with its cubs? You know, that's a bunch of stars, right? The bear and the bear cubs, those are stars in heaven. And he leads them around. Wow. Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you? Here we are, ready for war. No. Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clods of the earth stick together? That's where I'm going to stop. Because pretty much the point is, he's God, and he's done all this stuff. And which one of us can do it? how huge he is, how incredibly, that's why we worship. I mean, who's going to argue with him? Kind of quiet. And no one, exactly. No one. That's why it was quiet. And then as I was thinking about this, you know the song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, at the end, the last verse of the song, it says, and on that day when my strength is failing, reminds me of heaven. And so my next favorite chapter, couple chapters, came to mind. And this is worship in heaven, okay? And all I want you guys to do is kind of get the picture of what's going on here. Kind of let the words of the scripture flow over you and just try to imagine what it's like. Starting in verse 2, it says, at once I was in the spirit. Oh, I'm sorry, Revelation 4 and 5. It says, at once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. How many know what that is? I do. I'm a rock guy. I collect rocks. I love rocks. And I only like them because God made them. And he's made them all different because they're his, right? But you know what? He gave them to us for why? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but he gave it to us to enjoy, right? That's what it says. Well, jasper comes in many different colors. It sometimes has swirls and dots. There's one, the ocean jasper, that's just green with like red circles in it. I just saw one tonight. It's a bumblebee jasper. It's yellow with black circles. It's just incredible. And carnelian is kind of like an orange-colored agate. It's kind of clearish orange. And it can be darker to red. But the whole picture here is, I think, is of a reddish, orangish color. His appearance had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, okay? A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing, and these are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under the wings. Day and night, they never stopped singing, holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For if you have created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Did you guys hear Revelation 4:11 in there? Pete's favorite verse. Chapter 5 says, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who's worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? And that's what it sounded like. It was kind of quiet in heaven. It says, but no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or to look inside. Then one of the elders, remember the 24? One of them came up and said, don't weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He's able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he'd taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are your prayers. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many, many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. I added that up. You know how much that is? A lot. A whole bunch. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them sing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. You got the picture? So, part of the reason I didn't want to really do a sermon tonight, because guess what we're going to be doing in heaven? That. We're going to be worshiping. Forever. Forever.